Touchdown, Ole Miss.
Right up the middle, David. Big gaping hole opened up.
Touchdown, Ole Miss. Jackson Dart houses it.
Gary Darby, Chuck Roundsville, Yancey Porter, and Gordon Ford bring you the latest on everything going on with Ole Miss Athletics.
It's on the turf and the Rebels recover it.
Gets control and the dunk. Oh, my
goodness gracious.
Don't sit on the sidelines. Be part of the show. Text in your questions or comments at 662-426-1093. That's 662-426-1093.
I guess you don't have to, but you need to.
He hits one high and deep left field. Kane shading the eyes at the track, and it is gone.
Let's get to it. Here's your host, Gary Darby.
Hey, welcome into the program. I'm in the studio with the man Chuck. How are you?
I'm good, brother. How are you?
Good. Everything going well. And we are going to try and have Yancey on with us on the phone at some point throughout. He was in Omaha, somewhere else. We'll get him on the phone maybe.
He's headed on the way back. Yeah. You know Yancey. He'll mosey on into somewhere. And eventually call us.
So we'll get him and get his discussions in with our usual show, right? We'll talk about what happened in Omaha with Yancey. We have Brad Henderson that's scheduled to be with us in that big segment around 6:30. Text messages, any injury reports that we can find along the way. So obviously 0-2 is not how any of us wanted it to be in Omaha.
No. Just and coming in there as hot as they were, 5-0 in the regional and the super regional, I anticipated something more simply because they were in the right bracket, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even though North Carolina's won 51 games, I thought, hey, we can handle them if we do right. And here's the crazy part, Gary. The relief pitching, the bullpen, carried us through the region and the super regional with something like a 2.5 ERA, and they just fell apart up in Omaha. They just didn't get the job done.
Yeah, I'm with you. I knew in watching North Carolina, they looked to me a lot like Auburn, and top to bottom, 1-9 lineup was good, had a chance to get to you, and then Rabe leaves the game up 2-1.
Up 2-1. What more could he do? I mean, didn't he have 100 pitches?
Yep.
And had gotten out of a couple of jams, and it was looking good. And then the relief guys came in. Hudson Calhoun, who's been steady Eddie, came in and walked the first two, and Mike didn't stick with him very long, got him out of there. But then Walker came in, and he couldn't do anything either. And same story against Troy.
Troy, yeah. Good teams are going to make you pay for the mistakes.
Yeah, yeah.
And North Carolina did, and then Troy obviously did by pounding out 12 runs.
Well, here's the thing. The Troy game, I'm not using this as an excuse. They beat us fair and square. They hit the ball, blah, blah, blah. But that balk call on Hunter Elliott, we were up 6-2 with two outs in an 0-2 count, and the ump calls a balk when he's trying to adjust his earpiece to get the pitch. And even the rules guy that was with the with the announcing team, I was watching it on television because I didn't go to Omaha, he said he was trying to protect the ump. He said, well, that's a 50-50 call and to the ump's discretion. In other words, the ump screwed up. I mean, the rules guy didn't think it was a balk.
No, he's a judgment call, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And this became a judgment then, right? It was a little different in the fact that he separated just a little bit, but if it's a judgment call and you haven't called it, and I think that was Ben McDonald's point on the broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
Why haven't you called it in the last five times he did it?
Right, exactly.
Why the judgment all of a sudden?
And frankly, I think it rattled Hunter, even though he's 23 years old and a five-year veteran. I think it blew his mind, really. It looked like, anyway. And Troy took advantage and went on and gained the momentum, and we were never able to get the momentum back.
No. If you're looking for land, whether it's 20 acres out in the country to build a home, 200 acres to hunt deer, you need to make First South your first call. Do this, 601-898-8540. That's 601-898-8540, or find them online at firstsouthland.com. Yancey Porter, are you with us now?
I'm here, but how are you guys?
Good, good, good. You know, we were just talking about the balk, Yancey, and then then the reactions from some of our fans saying, oh, you just can't lose to Troy. Well, I got news for them. Troy went down to Gainesville and beat Florida twice in the Super Regional to get to Omaha. So it wasn't like they were a team that couldn't hit and couldn't pitch.
Yeah, most of those fans are football fans, right? They got the mentality of who's good at football is the good baseball teams, and they don't really keep up. Troy's a really good team. I mean, they're one of the final eight teams to do what they did to get to Omaha speaks for itself. And we knew that they were going to hit the cover off the ball. I watched them the game before against West Virginia, and I said then, I was like, the bat's going to have to show up. And they did. They left a lot of runners on. You know, when it was 6-2 there, the fifth inning, when the balk happened, there were many opportunities for that game to be 10-12-2, right? There was runners on first and second with less than two outs. I think three of the four innings before then to really separate the game. But, you know, it was all about the bullpen. What got Ole Miss to the World Series is what put Ole Miss out of the World Series.
Yep. Hold on to your thoughts, Yancey. We'll come back, get those five thoughts, and talk to you in the next segment. It's the Cannon Motors of Mississippi Rebel Yell Hotline. She put my shoes on.
I recommend Cannon Motor Company because nobody beats a Cannon deal. It's not only the car sale, it's after the car sale. And we take our job serious and we just love helping people. Working at Cannon is a great place to work. You know, we have fun and it's just like family and getting to, you know, be outside and do something new every day.
Test drive a new Chevrolet Silverado today. And remember, when the smoke clears, nobody beats a Cannon deal.
Nobody.
Together, let's drive.
Hey guys, this is former Major League Baseball player and avid deer hunter David DeLucci. There's nothing better than spending time in the woods, making memories at the camp, and enjoying the land. If you're like me and dream of owning your own hunting property, remember the name First South Farm Credit. They've been financing rural land for over 100 years. It's just what they do. When you're in the market for land, make First South your first call. Stop by or find them online at firstsouthland.com.
Cannon Cleary McGraw is ranked Oxford's number one real estate firm because of fans like you. The agents of Cannon Cleary McGraw are true experts in their field, and it shows with hundreds of five-star reviews and unwavering commitment to their clients. Cannon Cleary McGraw experts specialize in game day condos, seasonal townhomes, and high-end single-family homes. If you are on the sidelines and ready to get in the game, give a Cannon Cleary McGraw agent a call today at 662-371-1000. Tilt the odds in your favor of getting what you want with the best service in Oxford at Cannon Cleary McGraw Real Estate.
Looking for land or a home in the Mississippi Delta? Swappa Land has a new team in Cleveland, Mississippi. Swappa stands for soil, water, air, plants, and animals, the resources that make land special. Whether it's farmland, hunting, recreational and commercial properties, and dream homes, they connect buyers with sellers. Their partner, Steward Link, helps secure conservation funding for better wildlife habitat and water quality. Go to swappaland.com or call the office at 662-588-2034 or Charlie Heights at 662-719-7218. Swappa Land, your Delta Land connection.
If you're in the market for a fine piece of jewelry, there's only one name to know, Van Atkins. Serving its customers since 1939, Van Atkins has been voted the best estate jeweler in Mississippi multiple times. With great locations to serve you in historic downtown New Albany and on the square in Oxford, Van Atkins is the place to go. Whether it's a piece for yourself or for that special someone, Van Atkins is the easy decision. And like Chuck always says,
you know she's worth it.
You're listening to the Rebel Yell Hotline, presented by Cannon Motors.
All right, boys and girls, Cannon Motors of Mississippi, Rebel Yell Hotline. Gary and Chuck in the studio. Yancey is joining us by phone. So, Yancey, five things brought to us by Outback Steakhouse. Our friend Steve Grantham runs nine of those Outback Steakhouse locations in Mississippi and Tennessee. What are those five thoughts?
Yeah, the first thought, the tournament was lost when the back end of the bullpen became lost. Who would have thought? Second thought, as disappointing as it is to get knocked out of the World Series, anytime you get to Omaha, you have to consider it a very successful season, and the program has a lot of momentum going forward. Thought number three, the Ole Miss fan base showed up and showed out in Omaha like they always do. It was the most traveled fan base there once again. Thought number four, we have to focus on retention now with the big arms, with pitchers like Hunter, Townsend, Liberatt, Hooks, Calhoun, Robertson, Coeing, Leo Barnes, Grayson Gibson, and Owen Hancock, and continue to pick up some bats in the portal. And the last thought of the day, I don't know if this is a hot take, but I think Owen Pano really needs to be moved to third base in the future. We got to get a stud shortstop defensively in the portal that can cover some ground.
You and I have talked about that move, you know, off air a couple of times, and obviously, I mean, Ole Miss will be looking for some corner outfielders. There are some guys on the roster, but I'm with you. A big, tall guy. I mean, he did prove himself and did some good stuff at the end of the year, or he wouldn't have been out there. But you and I have talked about that move to third base often.
Well, he's got a glove. He's got a great glove, and he's got a hell of an arm. So, you know, third would be a pretty good position for him.
I think the problem is Dom Decker, I mean, he's flawless almost there at second base, but he doesn't cover a lot of ground. And so when you pair that up with Owen there at shortstop and second base, it makes him vulnerable. We've seen it. We saw Auburn make play after play like you're wow. How did they make that play? Troy did that. Arizona State did that against Ole Miss. Several teams were getting to balls that Ole Miss simply can't get to in the middle of their defense. That doesn't take anything away from Owen Pano. He's going to be a third base prospect in the MLB. But, you know, it doesn't matter how much he wants to be a shortstop. That's where he's going to be. He simply doesn't cover a lot of ground, and we saw that there in the bottom of the fifth inning when Ole Miss could have gotten out of that inning there at 6-3 after the ball, when the ball was hit there. And, you know, a shortstop that can cover ground would have got to that ball pretty easily, and Owen just wasn't able to get there. You know, that was just a highlight of why Ole Miss needs to get a shortstop that can cover some ground next year.
You know, a lot of people were talking about Owen was not very good offensively, Yancey, but I looked up the SEC, just the conference stats, against conference opponents, which is pretty stout, you know, opposition, competition. Owen was fourth on our team in the batting average at .271. Now, obviously, everybody wants everybody to be .300 or more, but he was better than Fawley, Decker, Randall, Bassetta, and Reuter in SEC play. He had a better batting average. He was fourth behind Federico, Furness, and Udemark. So it's not like Pano is an automatic out at the plate.
No, Pano's going to be a star. That doesn't take anything away. I mean, it's like John Rhys Plumlee, right? I mean, he wanted to be a quarterback, but he should have been a position player. And that doesn't mean that Owen Pano, that takes anything away from his game. If the ball's anywhere near him, he's going to get to the ball. And like you said, he's got a fantastic arm. And I think he's going to be take two steps forward offensively next year. I just, Ole Miss needs to get a little bit more athletic up the middle, and Dom ain't going anywhere. And they just need, I think Owen is a natural third baseman there, and it's the perfect position, just like it was for Hill the season before for Ole Miss. When he made the move, you know, he went from shortstop, then he plays on second base, and he settled in there at third base and really hit the cover out of the ball once he got there at third base. And I think that's his natural position.
Yeah, see, let's get your thoughts on this. I think a huge, huge comeback if he did, and I don't know what the odds are. Maybe you know a lot more than I do. What do you think the chances of Fawley coming back? Because I want to tell you, I think he's the best defensive catcher in the country.
Yeah, I do too. And Fawley is he's invaluable, and it would be a big blow if he did go in the major league. Right now, Baseball America has him ranked as the 498 ranked prospect coming out, combined in college and high school, which puts him about the 18th, 19th round. Some people talk about his age, being a negative and a reason to come out. But the bottom line is the MLB is not going anywhere, and you might as well get your money while you can get it. And I think Ole Miss will pay him handsomely to stay next season. If he goes in that round 16 to 20, I would think it would be very wise of him to come back. If he goes in the top 10 rounds, and then I think it's an easy decision for him to go.
That would be a great anchor to start off the 2017.
Yeah, and there's a great nucleus. I think there's a very likelihood you'll see Folley back there at catcher. And then, you know, Dom there at short, and Owen is, you know, maybe he plays, Dom at second, and Owen at short or third base. And then, you know, with Fetty there in center field, and we'll see what happens with Randall. Hopefully he comes back. As we saw, he's invaluable as well. So there's a core players, the Louisiana Tech, and the first baseman they picked up is a plug and player type player with 15 home runs this past year. I just think they still need to get two or three big bats, big boppers to fit that style of offense that Bianco likes to play in. You know, maybe get one more frontline pitcher. But, I mean, there's a great nucleus there. Rabe is very doubtful. I still think Townsend is as well. We'll see what Hunter does. But Walker Hooks and Calhoun and Levert. And I think J.P. Robertson, I think that kid's got a really good chance of being a really solid plus weekend rotation guy next year. I think he's got the stuff. I think Coing has got the arm and give the pitching coach an all-season to work with an all-speed pitch. You know, his all-speed pitches this year were between 90 and 92 miles an hour, but the 96, 98 mile an hour fastball, he's got to get that at least 10, 12 mile an hour difference. And so, the arms, there is a great nucleus of arms. I think Leo Odom, you know, the freshman from Summerall there, I think he shows great promise. I think he's going to turn a lot of heads next year. Grayson Gibson missed the last half of the year with the injury, but he's fine. There's a really good, nice nucleus of pitchers coming back, some veteran players in the field. They just need to sprinkle in some key portals and have a couple of these freshmen step up.
So what have you seen of Sipola before his injury? We're up against a break, but give me a 30-second version.
Yeah, Marco, he's got a lot of movement. He throws five different pitches. Hopefully he'll be fine by the beginning of the year, so to speak. I haven't heard if he's going to have the total Tommy John or if he had the new one where they just kind of put a brace in it. So that'll kind of tell his time frame of coming back next season.
All right, we'll bring you back for the text messages and more in the next segment, but I need to tell the people about the Farese Group, our partner in retirement. The Farese Group has over 20 years of experience and a proven track record in helping retirees invest and not outlive the savings during retirement. So if you're nearing or already retired, here's what you need to do. Call the Farese Group office at 601-607-4141. That's 601-607-4141 to schedule your free consultation. We have text messages. I haven't mentioned the text message line, but 662-426-1093, 662-426-1093 is the number to call. And so, guys, Yancey, I want you to think about this one. One asking about maybe moving Decker over to third base, and especially if Randall's coming back, maybe playing him at second. We'll think about that conversation, plus some of the names that were on the roster that could come in and fill in some of the spots, maybe even in the outfield or so. So we'll get some of those thoughts coming up for you in the next segment as well. You got all that? You listening to us?
I got it.
So we'll get that and we'll return with our text messages again. If we have some more, go ahead. 662-426-1093. Text messages and more coming up when we return to the Cannon Motors of Mississippi Rebel Yell Hotline.
Can you imagine? Years of hard work and saving, and now you're worried about outliving your retirement savings. Paxton Farese and the Farese Group have over 20 years and a proven process working toward success, not stress, after retirement. To know how you can truly enjoy a level of comfort and security, talk to the Farese Group. Retirement should be stress-free, not stressful. The Farese Group, FariseGroup.com, offices in Oxford and Jackson. The Farese Group, your partner in retirement. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Outback Steakhouse knows steak. Even better, the grills are always hot and ready for your favorites. There's nothing better than pairing a bold steak with a bloomin' onion and one of our signature cocktails. Drop in for a great lunch or dinner anytime for awesome food and a bloomin' good time. Either way, Outback has your back. Visit their locations in Tupelo, Hattiesburg, Meridian, South Haven, D'Iberville, and Flowood, Mississippi. Also serving Jackson and Cordova, Tennessee. Outback Steakhouse. Hey, Rebel fans, want to be more involved with Ole Miss? Well, join the Grove Collective, the exclusive Ole Miss NIL program. With the new name, image, and likeness law, Rebel fans now have the opportunities to support and elevate Ole Miss student athletes. And the Grove Collective has created a unified portal to amplify that support. As part of the Grove Collective, your support opens access to special events, fan experiences, merchandise, and marketing opportunities with student athletes. To find out more and to become part of the Grove Collective NIL program, visit thegrovecollective.com. Hottie Todd and go Rebs.
My name is Connor Griffin. I'm thankful for Mississippi Sports Medicine just for all that they've done for me.
All of the doctors there, they just care about our children, and that's just so important to me as a parent. It's very rewarding to have compassionate people as a part of our family's health journey.
You kind of learn your body at a young age, and if you want to perform at the best, your body has to be at the best as well. At the end of the day, it's my body before a game, so I got to take care of that when I need to.
Mississippi Sports Medicine has 21 subspecialized physicians, urgent care, and no referral needed. Learn more today at MississippiSportsMedicine.com.
Campbell Clinic Orthopedics, a national and international leader in musculoskeletal care, are the ones to trust when it comes to orthopedic needs, such as sports medicine, pediatrics, hip and knee, spine, shoulder and elbow, foot and ankle, hand and wrist, as well as cast and x-ray services, along with a physical therapy department. To make an appointment, call 901-759-3111 or schedule online now at www.campbellclinicoxford.com. They also offer a convenient weekly walk-in clinic Monday through Friday from 7:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Campbell Clinic Oxford, located at 2608 South Lamar Boulevard.
More of the Rebel Yell Hotline, presented by Cannon Motors, coming up next.
Yeah, we have your text messages coming up, a look into the injury report, and then we will get our friend Brad Henderson to put a recap on everything and some final thoughts with Hindu about this baseball season. Cannon Cleary McGraw, CCMOxford.com. You're looking for property of any kind in and around the Oxford Lafayette County area, go to CCMOxford.com. All right, first question, and Chuck, well, I'll start with you, and then Yancey, you chime in. The thought of Dom Decker moving to third, if he stays, and Randall to second, if he stays, or what do you think about that instead of moving Pano?
I like Pano at third better myself, because I'm not sure Dom has quite the arm that Pano does. I mean, Pano can throw a P over like Udemark. I'd rather see if those are the three we have to work with, I'd rather see Pano third, Randall short, and Dom Decker at second, to be honest with you.
Yancey?
I totally agree. And Pano would be one of the more athletic third basemen in the country. I think it would be a great fit. Dom is so reliable there at second base, and that might be quite a move for him. And Randall's quick. You know, he can cover ground. You know, so I have to agree with Chuck. I like that move right there.
I have to say this, pleasantly surprised with Braden Randall out in the outfield. The catch he made in foul ground,
really
right before, I mean, right before a big inning it turned out to be anyway, got an out you otherwise might not have gotten because of what he played. I'm not so sure if he comes back he might not be an outfielder next year.
It could be. And let me tell you this, though. I didn't think that's that big a transition, to be honest with you. I mean, on the high school level, which I know is nothing like college, I played infield and then went to outfield, and I thought outfield was easy to play.
Did you? It didn't dance on you? The ball didn't hop around?
Not really. Not really.
Yeah, it hopped around on me. It was not fun at all. The other question, go ahead, Yancey.
Yeah, I just hope that they keep Randall. I hope Randall decides to stay. I really think what we saw him in the last month and a half, really when he lost his spot, he took it into another gear, and I think he's got that gear for a full season next year.
All right, the thought of names on the roster that might not have gotten the playing time this year that you think might be able to fill in a corner outfielder or step into an infield situation?
Well, not on the roster. One of the incoming freshmen, Christian Doty, that's out of North Mississippi. He's played for Magnolia Heights this past year. He's one of the better athletic infielders I've seen in a long time, and I think there's going to be a role for him next year, and that could be an option there at shortstop to move Pano over there at third base. Corner, outfield, I think, you know, you return Mosley, you return Cannon Golden. We saw Topher Jones play there. There's, you know, Sermons as well. And I think Sermons and Topher are more natural infielders along with Randall, infielders and not outfielders, but they're athletic and they can handle that outfield spot. But having said that, they got to go out there and get two proven corner outfielders. They got to go in the portal and you got to tell the other guys, hey, you know, you got competition, and that's just the way it is. You can't go in there naked just hoping those guys step it up and become corner outfielders at Ole Miss. You need to be guys, dudes. You need to be dudes that can go for 20 home runs. And that's what they got to get done in the portal. That's the most pressing needs right now. Now, we'll see what happens with Folley there at catcher. If he does get drafted higher than they're expecting and he bolts, then that becomes the number one need. But and I expect them still to go get him some help. He can't catch every game like he was doing this season. I'm aware that they brought in one portal already. Don't have the name of that player right now. So I expect them to sign somebody regardless if Folley comes back or not. But as it stands right now, the most pressing needs to me are to go get you a pair of proven big boppers there in the outfield.
I like Romine, though, Yancey. I think he could do something somewhere. The guy came in some pressure situations late in the season and delivered some hits. So, I'm anxious to ask Clem or Mike Bianco, who of that group, Jones, Mosley, Golden, Sermons, Romine, do they really think can take a step up, you know, and become the kind of player that we need, regardless of where they play, outfield or infield?
Well, Romine is definitely going to be a guy that's in the future. Bianco said while Romine was in that huge hitless streak there as a pinch hitter, he said this guy's going to be a middle-of-the-lineup hitter for years to come. So will he play first base? Can he play corner outfield? We'll see. We've seen a lot of first basemen that have moved out there into the corner outfield before. So he is a perfect example of somebody that might can move to that corner outfield spot. But he is 100% in the future at Ole Miss.
Now, we're going to go over the recruits in the recruiting segment late in the show, aren't you?
Yeah, we're going to go over the recruiting segment. But, you know, we have to start off with one right there at first base that we were talking about before. Trey Housie out of Louisiana Tech. He's all-conference performer there this past season, 240-pound guy. You know, I like those big guys. And so does Bianco. You know, he's hit over 315 the last couple of years combined, 24 home runs. He's a guy, 975 OPS, fielding at a 987 clip, so he's got a good club. I think he's that plug-and-play type guy there at first base. And, you know, second and third and shortstop, there's a lot of options. If you move Pano, over there to third base, he's your plug-and-play guy over there for Udermark. So, again, really, to me, is what do you do with those corner outfield spots? That's assuming you keep your Nisibas and don't get them in the portal, right? And yeah. But some of those guys are going to go into the portal.
All right, we've got to go to break, Yancey.
We're on break.
Got to go to break. Do we have any, real quick, Chuck, any injuries that you can think of at all?
No, other than Sipola.
Gotcha.
See what's going to happen with him.
So the Rebel Injury Report is from Swapaland. If you're looking for land for a home in the Mississippi Delta, they're the place to call. They got the partner steward link there, or you can call Charlie Hines at 662-719-7218. Do it now.
Hello, friends. If you've listened to this show for any length of time, you know I'm pretty simple when it comes to clothes. Whether I'm headed to the stadium in Oxford, running around New Albany, or just trying to get through another long day, I don't need a closet full of stuff. I just want clothes that fit, hold up, and don't make me think twice. That's why I've become a fan of Quince. My Quince organic cotton t-shirt has become one of those things I reach for all the time. It's comfortable, it fits the way I like, and after plenty of washes, it still looks new. Honestly, that's what surprised me the most about Quince. You expect that kind of quality from designer brands, but Quince delivers it without the designer price tag. Whether it's premium denim, tailored chinos starting at just $60, or even bedding, cookware, and travel gear, Quince has become one of my go-to brands because I know what I'm getting every time. Quince works directly with ethical factories and cuts out the middlemen, so you're getting premium materials for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Upgrade your everyday. Download the Quince app for app-exclusive offers or go to quince.com/TOC. Get free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada and the UK too. That's Quince, Quince.com/TOC.
Never miss the game and never miss the party at the Library Sports Bar in Oxford. Grab a seat and a cocktail in the sports bar to watch the game on one of their many big screen TVs. Move on into the middle bar for some great live music Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night. Enjoy a breeze, a beer, and a ball game out on their patio as well. Stop in for happy hour from 3 to 7 during the weekdays. Have a big old time at the biggest bar in town. Meet you at the Brary, the Library Sports Bar on South 11th in Oxford.
Cannon Cleary McGraw is ranked Oxford's number one real estate firm because of fans like you. The agents of Cannon Cleary McGraw are true experts in their field, and it shows with hundreds of five-star reviews and unwavering commitment to their clients. Cannon Cleary McGraw experts specialize in game day condos, seasonal townhomes, and high-end single-family homes. If you are on the sidelines and ready to get in the game, give a Cannon Cleary McGraw agent a call today at 662-371-1000. Tilt the odds in your favor of getting what you want with the best service in Oxford at Cannon Cleary McGraw. Raw Real Estate.
You know what makes a good football team? Players with heart and lots of practice. In fact, that's also what makes a good law firm. At Roberts Wilson PA Injury Law, we've had lots of practice and we've got plenty of heart. We're out there fighting the big insurance companies every day. After a car or truck wreck, let the pros at Roberts Wilson PA Injury Law level the playing field between you and the insurance company. 662-533-9111.
Make Lenora's in Oxford your go-to dinner play this season. Their daily ravioli is always amazing, and you cannot go wrong with the decadent crawfish mac and cheese. They have an excellent variety of seafood dishes, and their ribeyes and fillets are cooked to perfection every time. Have a taste of the weekend on Wine Wednesdays, too. Call for your reservation today at 662-236-1144. That's 236-1144. Located at 309 North Lamar, great food and great vibes. It's a winning combination. Hey, cheers, and see you at Lenora's.
Outback Steakhouse knows steak. Even better, the grills are always hot and ready for your favorites. There's nothing better than pairing a bold steak with a bloomin' onion and one of our signature cocktails. Drop in for a great lunch or dinner anytime for awesome food and a bloomin' good time. Either way, Outback has your back. Visit their locations in Tupelo, Hattiesburg, Meridian, Southaven, D'Iberville, and Flowood, Mississippi. Also serving Jackson and Cordova, Tennessee. Outback Steakhouse.
I recommend Cannon Motor Company because nobody beats a Cannon deal. It's not only the car sale, it's after the car sale. And we take our job serious and we just love helping people. Working at Cannon is a great place to work. You know, we have fun and it's just like family and getting to, you know, be outside and do something new every day.
Test drive a new Chevrolet Silverado today. And remember, when the smoke clears, nobody beats a Cannon deal.
Nobody.
Together, let's drive.
Hello, this is Parker Guy from Tico's Steakhouse. We opened a second location in Oxford, Mississippi this past spring and would like to invite anyone visiting Oxford, whether it be for a sporting event, visiting kids in school, or just a weekend getaway to join us for the same sizzling steaks, healthy pours, and family atmosphere that has been serving Mississippi for over three decades. Our hours are 4:30 to 9 Monday through Thursday, 4:30 to 10 on Friday and Saturday, with brunch from 10 to 2 on select Sundays. Please visit our website, ticossteakhouse.com, or call our phone number at 662-638-3181 for any questions.
Ole Miss football, basketball, baseball, and more are all right here on the Rebel Yell Hotline, presented by Cannon Motors.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Gateway Tire, serving you since 1929, 54 locations, six different states. Gateway Tire goes the distance for you. This man has answered his phone every time we called. He's doing it again. We bring him in one more time. Brad Henderson, Hindu, how are you?
I'm good, man. Appreciate you having me on one last time here in 2022.
Are you back?
Yeah, so we flew back today. We left out of Omaha about 10, flew into Tupelo, got there about 11:45, got back to Oxford, and I went and tried to sell some insurance till 5 o'clock today. So I'm back in the real world.
There you go. There you go. Well, look, just give us a little brief recap of the experience up there. You know, disappointing two losses and really the back end of the relief pitching of the bullpen that had been so electric getting us there, what did just didn't have it in Omaha.
What got us to the dance, you know, just we just didn't play well, you know. And the thing about it is, Chuck, all eight teams that were there had a really good bullpen to get there and got timely hitting, and we just didn't. And it happens. You know, I hate it for the kids, but, man, you heard Coach B in the post game. If you're going to lose your final game, it's pretty special to lose it in Omaha. And, you know, again, I wish we'd have played a little bit better. I know the men do as well, but, you know, it just didn't come together. And you got to tip your cat to North Carolina and Troy. They just played better than we did. But it was a special group of guys and a special season, and they'll reflect back on it at some point and realize how good this season really was.
Well, Brad, we were talking about it earlier, and this is my contention. It looked to me like that balk on Hunter just turned everything on a dime. What was your viewpoint from the broadcaster booth about the balk and the effect it had?
Yeah, you know, obviously it was a big moment in the game with bases loaded and two outs, and I think it kind of took Hunter by surprise that they called it. Because I thought it was more of a pitch comm issue. They should have let it just play out, but they didn't. And Hunter said it in the post game. He said, you know, if I just make a pitch to the next batter, that one run probably doesn't hurt us, you know. But they end up getting three out of it and cutting it to 6-5. And then, you know, from that point on, the momentum was certainly with them. But, you know, Chuck, I mean, yeah, was it a pivotal moment? Sure. But you can't make excuses, right?
Hunter was right.
Had he made a pitch, or the very next guy gets the base hit up the middle, if he just hits the ball a little bit closer to Pano, we get out of the inning and we're not having this conversation. But yeah, we just never could really grab the momentum back at that point. And Troy was really good offensively. I mean, going into that game, in eight postseason games, they had scored 79 runs, so basically 10 runs a game, and they got 12 against us. And so they were hot, and we know what happens when teams get hot, and we just couldn't get them out.
And you know, what was interesting to me, not I wasn't happy to see it, but it was interesting, once they grabbed the momentum, man, they just strangled it. They weren't going to let go of it.
Yeah, and you got to give Thigpen, the guy they brought in, a lot of credit, because he kind of held us at bay. Because, I mean, you got to remember, we were still winning 6-5 when that inning ended.
Yeah.
But we never could get to him, you know, and he ended up throwing three or four innings, and, I mean, he just threw a gem. And he just allowed their offense to continue to score and just held us down. And ultimately that was the end of our season. So you got to give them a lot of credit. They just played better than we did. And, you know, once you get in that loser's bracket, if you're not at the top of your game, basically every pitch, you know, you're that close to getting bounced. And we got bounced. And, you know, but again, man, what a year. I don't know that anybody after those first three or four weeks in conference play, anybody had on a bingo card that we were going to make the run we made. And we played our best baseball when we needed to get us to Omaha. It just didn't happen for us once we got out there.
All right, so let's look forward a little bit. We discussed this with Yancey a little earlier. Do you think there's any shot that Austin Fahley will come back?
deep down, I'm going to say no. We're in clearly a new era, you know, with the NIL. I just don't think he does. You know, I know there's some portal talk out there with a catcher, and we're going to have another catcher anyway. You know, you need three at least. But I'll be surprised if he does, but I certainly hope he does. But my gut says no, Chuck.
The other thing we discussed is, you know, you got all those young guys, Topher Jones, Brett Mosley, Cannon Golden, Tate Sermons, Luke Romine. Who out of that group has the look to you, the hey, I'm going to step up my game and be a big part of this program moving forward?
Yeah, I think Romine is going to be, at some point in his career, you know, a middle-of-the-order guy. I mean, he's got real pop. He's got real bat speed. He just needs at bats, you know. He just needs in-game experience. I talked to him yesterday, congratulated him on a great year, and it's pretty cool as a freshman to, you know, he got to notch a hit. You know, he got a hit in game one in the College World Series. Not a lot of people can say that, you know. And he told me he was headed off, thought within the next day or two, going to play summer ball, and he's going to play outfield. And so he's going to get a lot of innings this summer in the outfield. And so that probably tells you who's going to hopefully fill one of those corner spots. And then Cannon Golding. I mean, he had a terrific fall. I think he led the team in hitting in the fall. And so I think he's going to have a big year, too. There's just way too much talent there. He can fly. He's got great hands, good bat speed. And he's just going to need to get some at-bats under his belt as well. So I think it's a good nucleus coming back. I really do. You know, I think the biggest question mark, and Laugh's already on it, is getting some guys to pitch on the weekend. I think the kid from LSU has got a chance to be special, especially under Joel Mangrum.
Is that the 6'9 kid?
Yeah, the Rizzy kid,
yeah.
Maverick is his first name. But, I, you know, the thing is, I don't know about you guys, but I'll speak for myself. Every year I go, holy moly, we're losing so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. And then you look up the next year, and boom, here we are in the top 25, rolling. So I got, you know, a lot of confidence in Laugh, who I played with, and Mike, and what those guys are going to put together. But I do think there is a solid nucleus that will be back. They're just going to have to fill some holes.
All right, so talk about on the mound of the guys that are coming back. Yancey seemed to think that there was a real good foundation there, but he also mentioned maybe bringing in a couple of weekend guys. What's your thoughts on some of those kids that we saw pitch some this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think your Odoms, Leo Odom, Noah Allen, some of those true freshmen, they have a chance to blossom. Obviously, Livert will be back. Hooks will be back. We'll see what happens with Calhoun in the draft. I feel pretty confident that, you know, obviously Rabe and Townsend are gone. So, yeah.
JP?
As far as who's going to run up, JP will be back, yeah. So, yeah, you got some arms that have shown they can do it. You got some that have the potential to do it, but I think they will have to go get at least two guys, Rizzy being one of those. If he's, you know, if Joel, his only issue was being in the strike zone. So if Joel can kind of fix that, which I think he can, he possibly is probably going to pitch on the weekend. But again, you're going to have to go get some guys that you know have been there, done it. On the weekend, I know Laugh, he's on. I hardly even get to visit with him because he's on his phone all the time. And but they'll figure it out. And obviously, we say this again every year. You know, when Rave stepped on campus, you know, did we really know how special he was? I mean, there's always that chance. Mm-hmm. And I think we got two or three guys that were freshmen this year that could turn into that. And so it's all about development. It's all about experience. And so, you know, you're gonna have some guys next year that you probably didn't hear their name much this year that are going to be really good.
What do you know about Sipola? Did you see him in last in the winter at all last fall?
You know, no, he came in and he had kind of had some kind of a nagging injury when he came in from San Diego State. And so, to be honest with you, I think that was kind of in the back of his head all year. And he just wanted maybe a couple more opinions. I don't know that he'll be back. And I'm not saying he won't, but I just don't have no knowledge of it. Just because he hasn't been really around much since they put him on the shelf. And so we'll see where that goes. But, I to be honest with you, Chuck, I don't know one way or the other what Marco Cipolo's future looks like.
Do you think Decker's back?
I'm going to say 50-50. It's changed from when I played, Chuck. These guys now, they come to Ole Miss because of the culture and the history now that Coach B has done. They come here for an opportunity to get to the next level. And I think Dom wants that opportunity. Whether that opportunity shows up, I don't know. It's just interesting nowadays, and I'm not going to talk Dom specific, but sometimes when these guys they've already graduated, they've gotten a degree, our coaches will go out and try and help them get to the next level. Mm-hmm. As bad as we want them back, you do what's best and what's right for the kid. And so, Dom will be an interesting one. I'd love to have him back. Obviously, he'd be a staple at second base. He'd be a staple in that one hole. But again, if the kid's ready to try and do the next thing, then, you thank him for coming and you support him because, at this point, he's a rebel.
And where do you see the future for Reuter? What year is he?
Reuter's done.
He's food. He's through. Okay.
Yep.
I didn't know that.
So, again, we'll have to have three catchers. We'll see what Pereira does, the freshman, who was in that kind of that backup role, especially when Reuter DH'd and Fawley caught. So I don't know. There's a lot of decisions to be made in the next few days. They'll have player meetings, departure meetings over the next couple of days, and I'm sure all that will kind of get hashed out on futures of separate guys. But, with a 34-man, you can't miss very much. You can't have four or five in that dugout that aren't going to help you, And so they'll have some real conversations with several people, I'm sure, and I'm sure we'll have some get in the portal. But we really won't know anything probably maybe by the end of the week.
All right, so tough question here. Real short, give us a 30-second answer. What was going on with Walker Hooks toward the end of the year? He had two or three real shaky-type appearances after – he put up a 1.73 ERA for the year, which is unbelievable, but he's a little shaky there at the end. What do you think was causing some of that?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing was maybe the book got out on him. Teams knew – how to approach him. They knew what to look for. They knew arm slot, kind of where to try and find the ball, because his slider was so good up until really just this last weekend. I think teams kind of took him out of his element, and he was going to have to make some adjustments, and Joel as well, and maybe try and beat you in a different way, and he didn't. So you got to credit scouting and analytics. And so obviously going into next year, there'll have to be some adjustments made, but I just think the book got out on him. Teams made adjustments on what to look for and what to attack, and they did damage, but now we're awfully blessed to have him. Wait. Of course, he's going to the USA deal this summer. But man, he's going to have a monster junior year.
Yeah, I agree.
Brad Henderson, thank you for being with us on this show. Great job on the call with DK throughout the year as well, my man.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you, man. Appreciate you guys having me.
Brad, sure enjoyed listening to you and DK. Great stuff.
Well, it was a great season. I'm just so happy for those kids. I'm happy for Coach B and that staff. They deserved it. And to be one of the last eight is an awfully, awfully great accomplishment.
Thanks, Hindu.
All right, man.
Quick SEC and Ole Miss news brought to you by Van Atkins Jewelers. Van Atkins, the South's leader in the state jewelry, diamond solitaires, as Chuck always says. She's worth it. Well, there is SEC action tonight. An SEC game going on in Omaha, and Oklahoma with an early 3-0 lead on Georgia.
And not only that, they're looking like the hottest team up there.
Right. They've hit 20 home runs in the postseason. They had 65 coming into the postseason, 20 in this run. They're scoring 10 runs per game.
Yeah.
So they are hot at the right
time. And Alabama is not.
No.
And neither are we.
No. Two already at the house. One of the things in that discussion that I want Ole Miss fans to remember, too, is while playing in Omaha, Carl Lafferty was flying back and forth, entertaining guys on that off day, and recruiting was nonstop while you were doing what you were supposed to be doing in everybody's mind, and that's playing in Omaha.
That's right.
All right, friends, we'll come back. Yancey should join us, and we'll finish next.
Rebel fans, do you have real estate questions? Coldwell Banker Signature agents have the answers. Whether you're buying or selling, let the agents at Coldwell Banker Signature give you the home field advantage. Start your search now, www.oxford38655.com, or call them directly at 662-50-38655. Also, if you're thinking about a career in real estate, give Martin a call at 662-50-38655 to learn about the opportunities available. Find your home with Coldwell Banker Signature today.
Never miss the game and never miss the party at the Library Sports Bar in Oxford. Grab a seat and a cocktail in the sports bar to watch the game on one of their many big screen TVs. Move on into the middle bar for some great live music Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night. Enjoy a breeze, a beer, and a ball game out on their patio as well. Stop in for happy hour from 3 to 7 during the weekdays. Have a big old time at the biggest bar in town. Meet you at the Brary, the Library Sports Bar on South 11th in Oxford.
At Philly Finance, we are an installment loans financial institution that is here to fit most budgets. We make sure that our customers, like you, have the best service and treat you like family. We don't base our loans off your credit score. We base it off your credit history. You can reach us at 601-650-9555 and do a phone application or come by our store in Philadelphia. You can also follow us on Facebook at Philly Finance. Remember, call 601-650-9555 and let us help meet your financial needs.
With over 40 years of combined experience, the Tom Smith Land and Homes team, serving the Cleveland, Mississippi area, is committed to achieving the best results for buyers and sellers. Their knowledge and expertise about agricultural, hunting, and recreational lands is highly known and respected throughout the state. With Tom Smith Land and Homes, you can expect more and get more return on your real estate investment.
Contact Tom Smith Land and Homes today at 662-441-2500.
More of the Rebel Yell Hotline, presented by Cannon Motors, coming up next.
So let's finish this thing up. I'm in the studio with Chuck Yancey's on the phone. Let's get into it. The Red and Blue Chip Recruiting Segment presented by the Grove Collective to try and bring in those portal guys and then keep all of our people happy in the NIL marketplace. What do you have?
Yeah, big week. First, we'll start with baseball since that's what is going on this show. And for all the listeners out there, we're going to really start pounding football, and more football started next week through hopefully the end of January of the national championship run. But let's continue on the baseball here. Ole Miss picked up a portal signing from Brent Stoops at a USC upstart. It's a right-handed pitcher, big kid. He's had 16 starts last year through 78 innings, which means he's very durable. 56 strikeouts, 39 walks. They picked up, as Hindu was talking about, LSU right-handed pitcher, 6'9", 250, Maverick Ritz. Over the last two seasons, he has 46 innings pitched, 57 Ks, 38 walks, throws it in the upper 90s, really nasty stuff, as Hindu highlighted there. Control's been an issue, but getting there with Mangrum, and that should be a foregone conclusion that he can get that under control. Trey Halsey out of Louisiana Tech, the first baseman we were talking about, 6'3", 240 over the last two seasons, hit 315, 25 home runs. In football, Ole Miss got a huge commitment, literally from 6'4", 320-pound interior offensive lineman Antonio Kiefer out of Memphis. He's a top 250 national guy, someone that the Ole Miss staff has pegged as a party from day one. Another big get offensive line class here has got potential to be special if they can close on another player that came in for an official visit this weekend, Antonio Berry out of Tupelo. We've been talking about him for quite a while now. Offensive tackle, 6'5", 300, top 100 national guy. Ole Miss also brought in the number one running back in the country, David Gabriel George, running back out of Baylor, who is teammates with the Keegan that is committed to Ole Miss there at quarterback. They brought in Dolph McDonald, a cornerback, 6'1", 160 from Morton, Mississippi, top 500 three-star guy. Sheldon Isaac, a wide receiver from Macomb, Mississippi, 6 foot 170 guy that's really moving up the recruiting ranks. So a lot of local guys there for the football visitors out of Tupelo, Morton, Macomb, Mississippi, and obviously there Memphis, who I consider that home territory as it is. So Pete Golden continues to really tear it up on the recruiting trail. I expect this at the end. I said it before when Pete was first hired. I think it'll be ranked higher than any of Lane Kiffin's classes. Don't be surprised if this is a top 10 ranked class when it's all said and done.
Well, here's the thing, Yancey, about Pete. He comes from that Alabama tree of Nick Saban, and I know some people that have been on that staff as a recruiting coordinator and as position coaches, and they say if you don't recruit every single day that Nick is down your throat or was before he retired, and they get in a habit of recruiting's number one. You know, that's just it. And I think Pete brought that intensity and that type of attitude, and you know, and it's infectious. So I think Pete's got a Nick Saban type recruiting situation going on here, in my opinion.
And another thing, you have to like it, right? And I think Pete likes it. I think he likes recruiting, and I think the players relate to him. He's just one of the guys, Pete is. And, you know, I think we've had some great recruiting head coaches in the past. I thought Orgeron was a great recruiter. I thought Freeze was a great recruiter, and I think Pete's going to be right up there with them. And the common theme with all those guys is they really enjoyed recruiting. It's just like your job, right? If you don't really like what you do, you're not going to be that good at it, no matter how hard you try. And I think Pete really likes recruiting.
Yeah, and it's kind of like dating, isn't it? I mean, you ask 10 women out, and if one of them says yes, you're okay.
That's right. That's what happened with me.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought your ratio was 20-1, though.
It could have been even higher. Who knows? I can't even remember that far back after 29 years.
Yeah.
Let's finish it up with the good, the bad, and the ugly, brought to you by Cannon Motors of Mississippi. Car shopping made easy with a vast selection of new and used vehicles. Cannon's committed to providing amazing customer service, and the service center is there for you to enjoy many years of driving the vehicle you purchased from Cannon. Go to CannonMotorCompany.com. Find a location near you.
Well, good. Obviously, being in Omaha for the College World Series is special and a fantastic accomplishment. Even though it took Mike Bianco over a decade to get to the CWS the first time, he's been there three times in the last 12 seasons. It's been 13 years, but the COVID season does not count because it was canceled. Anyway, three times in 12 seasons is a 25% success rate to Omaha, and he also has a national title to mix in with those three in 2022. Omaha is always the goal, and it's comforting and encouraging to have been there three times in a dozen seasons, even though they didn't do a very good job while they were up there this time. Bad, the Rebs just didn't have it in Omaha. It's as if they shot all their ammunition in the regional and super regional that they swept through. They didn't seem to have many bullets left, especially on the mound. The relief pitching that performed so effectively in both the regional and super fit regional fell apart. The only bright spot on the mound was Taylor Rabb, who pitched six quality innings against North Carolina. The rest of the pitching was below average, and below average will get you lit up in Omaha. The hitting was not very opportunistic either in Omaha, and that is the quality the Rebs relied on to win to get to Omaha. The ugly, oh, well, let's beat the dead horse to death. 22 strikeouts in two games, and a lot of them to our main producers was ugly.
Final thought there, Yancey, what you got?
Yeah, I think this next week, as Hindu alluded to, we're going to know a lot about what direction the current players are going to go in. Those one-on-one meetings are going to let them know what they need to do, and there's going to be some guys going to the portal, you know, that don't get the answer that they want, and we're just going to have to put faith in the staff to fill those holes and make the right decisions.
All right, my friend, you can finish it up for us. Go ahead.
Hotty toddy.